This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did.
Way we go. Hello, hello, everybody. You have J. Lewis Mills, and we are on the level with J. Lewis Mills. I hope you all had a good week. There's a lot going on in the news this week. Don't think I'm not going to talk about it. It's just this week I would like to revisit a conversation that I had a couple of weeks ago, but this week we are actually going to have that conversation with an industry professional. So we will be able to get a pinpoint opinion about this whole NFL kneeling thing. I do want to let you all know, you all know I'm an actor. I work in Hollywood. Hollywood is my life. So please don't think I am just ignoring this whole Harvey Weinstein thing. We are definitely going to get into that next week. I am just trying to secure a particular guest that I would like to come on and speak to what is going on and give her opinion. But this week, like I said, we're going to deal with the whole NFL situation that's going on as far as the national anthem, as far as the kneeling, as far as the flag. And this week, I am so very honored, and I mean that sincerely. I am honored to have Mr. Tony Sands as my guest. You don't have to Google too much to find out who Mr. Sands is. Tony was one of the best, in my opinion, college football players, NFL football players, to ever lace up the cleats. And I am so very, very happy to have you with me today, Tony. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. And yourself?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Thank you. Now, if you don't mind, sir, I would like to jump right into this. And I would like to start by telling you, a few weeks ago, I had, you know, on my show, I was talking about how it was really getting on my nerves over my Facebook feed or over my other social media feeds for me to see people. I'm no longer watching NFL football. These NFL millionaires need to stay in their lanes. This is disrespectful to the flag. This is disrespectful to the national anthem. And it got on my nerves because I did what it seems as though no one is doing. I went and I researched. I went to YouTube. I went to NFL.com. I would put in particular football players' names, like Michael Bennett, like Colin Kaepernick. And I would see interviews that they would do. And I would listen for the questions that were asked. Correct. And I would wait until I would specifically hear a journalist ask, why are you doing this? Why is this important to you? And I would go off of their answers. Colin Kaepernick said, I am doing this because America is not living up to the standard of the flag. America is not living up to the standard of the national anthem. There are too many injustices going on in this country for me to be able to stand with the national anthem while the national anthem is being played. There were even direct questions about the military, and answers were given. I have family and friends that were in the military. This is not disrespect to the military. This is because the United States is not living up to the standard of the flag, of the national anthem, the rights that these military men and women have gone and fought and lost their lives for are not being given to everybody here in this country.
Correct.
So I had to do a show because I felt like I had to actually say, this has nothing to do with the military. This has nothing to do with disrespecting the military, national anthem, or the flag. If anything, these players are saying the United States is disrespecting the military, the national anthem, and the flag. So correct. Can you, sir, help me understand if I am wrong, and honestly, if I am wrong, please tell me that I am wrong and correct me, and I will listen to your correction. But if you agree with me, sir, can you please help other people understand why it is you agree with me, if you do?
First of all, and as we talk about this, and as I myself, I've been on all sides of what we're dealing with here in America and the things that are bringing, as we say, attention to inequalities here in America from the simple fact I've played football. I am a black man in the United States, and I have been pulled over by officers and taken out of a car at gunpoint, have been told, if you move, I will blank, blank, blank you. When all I'm being pulled over for was a stop, now it turns into possibly if I move in one direction or the other, I could possibly lose my life. I've also, before this thing got started back in 2005, I had a nephew that was shot by a police officer. So I understand what they're trying to bring attention to. But when the process of them trying to bring attention to, they're not disrespecting. One may take that and use that to even to whitewash the whole topic of what they're trying to do. They're trying to say that they're not patriots. They're not patrons. And they are disrespecting America because they are not standing. That's never been the topic. That's never been the issue. The issue is to bring attention to things that were happening between police officers and situations in the minority community, which has been gone without attention until we come on this thing we call cell phones and videos. You can take it back to Rodney King when that was brought up, and we said we didn't. When America and people were trying to tell you, you didn't see what you thought you saw. That's kind of hard to tell me in a video camera that I didn't see what I thought I saw. And then if it gets to that, they say, okay, it had to be something leading up to it. So they always find something to take the distraction from the main issue. And the main issue is that these guys are not disrespecting the flag in any kind of way, but they got to understand. And my father was a Vietnam veteran. I just lost my father also June 28th of this year, who is dedicated to being an American patriotist because he fought in Vietnam. And me and my dad also even spoke on these issues before he died. And he said, people must understand that when we went to war, we didn't go to war for just one side. We went to war for freedom. Understand what that means. It just not mean freedom when you want something done. Freedom means that gives me the right to say and protest in a peaceful way.
Yes.
That I can. Not just in the way that someone wants me to.
Now in your opinion as a player, now when you played in the league for the Cardinals, this is not something that happened. But
no.
At that time in the National Football League, I have professional football or professional sports friends, so I understand, under that shield, NFL, that's a brotherhood. What happens in the locker room, that's a brotherhood. Sometimes what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room.
Stays in the locker room,
but even though it wasn't happening to the scale that is happening in today's NFL, was this a conversation in the locker room when you played? And if it was it a conversation that everyone wanted to be a part of? or was it still a conversation that was hard to have in the locker room?
No, it was never a conversation. There was never a conversation in the locker room, never a conversation on game day, because it was just recently, until recently, that this became a big issue of that we must stand, that we must go out for the national anthem, because before, football players, we didn't go out for the national anthem until we came across the issue of the military paying the NFL for this to take place. So now, when I wrap myself around that, I'm saying to myself, you're paying for people to be patriots of America. Patriotism. All that patriotism. The NFL, you're asking for them to give you money. If we were so entrenched in the values of this, you wouldn't have to pay a dime for it. It'd be something that you would have an honor to do, but you had to get paid for this process to start. And at that time, like I said, even with myself, I was playing the game. I loved it, the game that I played, and that's what we did. It is until recent times that this, you know, much emphasis has been put on and placed on that you must stand for the national anthem. But I think that's every man's freedom and every man's right. We take for instance myself. Yeah. I was baptized back in 2009.
Okay.
As a Jehovah's Witness. And this is what we're losing. America is losing my freedom for my religion is my right. So in this day and age, I wouldn't be standing, because the religion that I study also tells me that I must not honor a man-made idol. So even in that, it says that if you are disrespecting the God that you serve, if you do that. So now that puts a different spin on it that really hasn't, you kind of make a person whose religion is over that, such as if you look at Muhammad Ali, his religion told him he couldn't fight. And they ostracized him in the beginning, but they made him a hero on his going out. And it's no different than what Colin Kaepernick is doing.
Now you bring up an absolutely wow moment for me right now, because I did not know that the military was paying the National Football League to have their players stand for the national anthem. Now that I know that, that brings about a whole nother question that I would like your opinion on. Since that's the case, do you think there is a ulterior motive, so to speak, to some of these owners that are sending these tweets or these emails around their clubs talking about if you work for this club, if you don't stand for the national anthem, you're fired? So the reason I ask that question is because it kind of takes it out of the I have respect for the military and the flag versus this is what we are contracted to do, so you have to do it. Does it take some of the, if you want to say, positivity that these owners were trying to put out there, does that kind of taint it? Since this is a paid thing for the NFL?
Yes, because now, is it more patriotism or is it business?
Yes.
That's what we got to look at. Is it more business than patriotism? Which one is it? And if it is business, let's speak on of such. Take it as such. Let's not distract from Colin Kaepernick and all this. And when you really look at it, all of this that is going on, stand, not stand, kneel, not kneel, stay in the locker room, whatever have you, has taken all the attention from the true meaning of what Colin Kaepernick started this out to be. And to me, I don't find him, and even in that, I didn't find him disrespecting the flag. It's a different thing if he was in the front, out in the front of the line, and as soon as they did it, he kneeled down. He was in the back. You got to figure it out. You got to understand, a reporter had to find and tune into him to bring attention to what he was doing. He didn't jump up and down, and that's what you would call disrespect. Because even in my religion, we speak that You know, if you're already standing and it is proceeded, you stand up. You just don't put your hand over your chest. But if you're already sitting, then you just continue to sit, not to bring attention to you and not to distract from what and disrespect other Americans that may want to pay, you know, say their pledge to allegiance. But if you look at schools now, schools kind of getting away from the whole, they play it, but I don't think the schools really emphasize on it as of when I was a kid, to where it was something that you had to do, because schools understand that they must respect each and every child's right to whether they want to say or whether they not want to say. And I think all this stuff has gotten and taken away from it because it's more of a business. It was a business transaction in the beginning. So now guess what? For the military knew that a lot of people love sports. They love this football. They want to show the patriotism. So guess what? If we pay the NFL, which is at now is America's number one sport that everyone wants to watch, if we're showing that they're patriotism, we're saying, guess what? Hey, you guys that want to join the military, this is why you join. Look at the NFL. They're following lead. They are standing up there pledging. They love it. And that's how they was drawing, really, believe it or not, that's how they was drawing attention to the military. Military, and I had a chance, I was up in Fort Bend this weekend up in Columbus and spoke to some military guys. And I asked them that one question. I say, because I really want to know. I said, my dad gave me one opinion, but I want to know it from someone outside of my family that I don't know. And we were sitting down at the Waffle House, and I said, tell me, truly, does this disrespect you? He said, no, it has nothing to do with us. They have made it about us. And we are upset that they had made this about us, because it's not about us. We understand what he stood for, and that's what we went and fought for. We went and fought for Colin Kaepernick to have the right to do what he is doing. So why are they saying that they're disrespecting us and drawing attention like it's a fight between us and the NFL, and it's not that. What he was worried about was what was going on in today's society, everyday living of walking out. And I'm going to tell you, me at where I am, do I wonder when I leave my home, will I come back? Yeah, I wonder. Because I've been on that side of looking down the barrel of a police gun and understanding he was a nervous man looking at me. And at any point in time, all he has to do is tap a trigger and guess what? Lights out in a split second. So to say that it's disrespecting the military, I think when you interview, if you speak to a lot of those guys, they'll tell you this is not about us. They're pitting the fight between us like it's a fight between us and the NFL. It is not that. We fought just as well as for everyone's freedom. That's why we have the First Amendment. That's why we're such a beautiful country. That's why we was looked at as one of the most beautiful countries, because our ability to have our freedom of speech trumps anything in any other country. But now, if we look at it, if you're taking away my right or my freedom, how far are we coming away from communists that we speak down upon when it comes to every other country?
I thank you. I thank you for that, especially because you spoke just this weekend. You spoke with current military or members of the military, and they are telling you it's not about us. So if the actual ones that are out there fighting, listeners, you have to think about this now. The actual military. Now, the people that Mr. Sand spoke to, they don't represent the whole military, and I'm not trying to say that they do. And Mr. Sands is not trying to say that they do. But what he is saying and what I am pointing out right now is, this is not about what you are being told it's about. And I will go back to what I said in the beginning. I really wish people would sit down and listen to what is being said. When I did the show where I was talking about it initially, I told a story, Tony, about I play a lot of golf on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. And one of the games that I play is Tiger Woods 14. And on Tiger Woods 14, it's a golf club. So you and your friends get in and you can all play in the same game or different games, which are all in the same chat room. And there was a guy that was in the chat room, and he was, like your father, he was a Vietnam veteran. And he started spouting off, I don't watch the NFL anymore. Fuck these guys. They should just, that's where I got most of what I was saying earlier. They just need to be happy that they're millionaires and they can be millionaires in this country. And I let him finish. I didn't yell. I didn't scream.
Correct.
And I just explained to him. I said, look, what you have to understand is you're watching the news and you're listening to what other people are saying. Just listening to what you just said right now, I fully understand you are not listening to what this is being done for. This is being done because there are so many injustices done in this country. If you would have listened to what Colin Kaepernick said, he said specifically, there are injustices in this country. The United States of America is not living up to the standards of the flag or the national anthem. He also spoke on the military. By the time I was done with my explanation, this Vietnam veteran was in tears because he said that he just didn't know. He just didn't understand. And he thanked me, and he was appreciative that I took the time to explain to him what the real situation was. And if I can do that in a chat room on a video game, then this conversation definitely, this conversation for damn sure needs to happen in real society outside of a chat room on a video game. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And as I was in Fort Bend, what I was looking at too, I said, you know what? What would be a beautiful thing is to get NFL guys and to get military guys, since society has said that this is who is fighting, is like two sides against another. Get these guys on an open talk forum. That way everyone can get their opinion about. And that's one thing about America. America does not, and that's where we fall astray at a little bit, because we don't want to talk about the things that affect society, but we want them to get better. We can't get better until we come to a conversation, come to the table, and understand and talk with each other, trying to correct the things that is wrong or the things that are unjust that takes place here in America. We don't want to talk about them. We hide them up under the closet. It's almost back in the day when families had problems within themselves. But we wonder why the problem was a generational curse, because guess what? Back then they said, don't speak on it. Even though it happened, don't speak on it. Mm-hmm. So we continually saying to ourselves, we don't want to talk about that. We don't want that to be an issue. It's never going to get solved, because guess what? We're scared to face our inadequateness about our country. Are we the best country in the world? Yes. But can we get better? Yes, but we must come to the table to get better. If we're going to move forward here in this country, we must be able to sit down and have an open discussion with it. Everybody feels like we can't talk about it. It's taboo to talk about. And that's where the problem is coming in.
I absolutely believe that. And, you know, my two takeaways are, number one, if there was an open, like if there was a town hall platform and there were military guys and there were National Football League players that are participating in the protest.
Correct.
If this was on CNN, if CNN allotted 60 minutes for this to happen, I could almost guarantee you this conversation would be over in 10 to 15 minutes. Because one side will look at the other side and say, I don't have a problem with you. The other side will look at the other side and say, I don't have a problem with you. And then they will be asking each other, well, then what are we doing here? We got told that you have a problem with us. Really? Because we got told you had a problem with us. Okay, correct. That common denominator is whoever the we is, whoever is doing the talking. They're not the ones that are at the end of this conversation. Why is that? Number one. And number two, since I now know that the military is paying the National Football League for their players to stand, that conversation would never happen because of what I said, what happened in situation number one. Too much realness would come out as far as what. Why is it being said that it's the military? Why is it being said that it's disrespectful? If you have that conversation, too much truth is going to come out. And I have said on my show more than once, anybody can come to the bargaining table and sit across from their adversary and tell their adversary everything wrong that their adversary is doing. Why don't we try coming to the table saying what we will no longer do?
Correct.
And you tell us what you are no longer going to do, and let's start the negotiation, let's start the conversation that way. But if you come to the table sitting down, okay, well, first of all, you all have to stop doing this. You all have, if you come to the conversation already starting that way, you are never going to be heard. But if you come to the conversation, if you come to the table and say, look, I understand what we have done is wrong. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And if you listen to, and people, you know, if you listen to the oath that military guys take, that oath speaks volumes. That oath speaks volumes. It reminds me, like my dad said, when my dad seen a lot of this stuff, I'm going to tell you what he told me. He said, Tony, this reminds me a lot of Vietnam. I said, what do you mean, Dad? He said, you got to understand, when we came back from Vietnam, here in America, he said, it wasn't the dreams that I was scared of. It was coming back to America and hearing the things that were said about us as Vietnam veterans, that we were baby killers and all this. So he didn't fear the nightmares that he was going to have with PTSD. My dad feared coming to America and hearing and being spit on and these type of things happening to him. When you speak on the word disrespecting the military, let's let people research that. See, they don't want to research. If you bring that up, it's always in the past. But it goes back to, like I said, it speaks on true disrespect, because that what I would call, these guys went, as we say, fought for our freedoms, but then they came back to their country. And man, oh man, to read, and when my dad told me, I did my research on a lot of this, and to read about how these guys were treated when they came back to America, my, how America forgets. My, how we forget in America. Because guess what? We don't want to talk about it. Here it is again. And it's continually to come up. So at some point, we must have a conversation about it. And military guys love watching professional football. You can see them during Christmas. You can see them during Thanksgiving. And they love watching the game, because it is a, football to me is one of the most beautiful games that a person can play. You learn how to love people that come from all nationalities. And guess what? When I'm lining up next to a guy, I never think of what his race is. All I think of, there's one common goal that we must do, and that's to win a football game. So whatever it takes to win that football game, that's what we do. And if America followed the game of football as the creed to how America can live, man, we have a beautiful country.
Yes, we absolutely would. But there again, you know, when you bring money into a situation, it clouds everything. And it's unfortunate to me. I read on Facebook, I posted this, I shared it, I talked about it. I saw something that said, racism is so American. When you protest against racism, some people think you're protesting against America.
Correct.
And to me, that speaks volumes, because it's almost like racism has been interwoven. It's almost like racism has been interwoven into American heritage.
Yeah.
Not because anyone is trying to make America look bad, but if you tell the truth, America has been a racist country since its inception. I mean, it is what it is. But just because that's the way it started, it's almost like some things are just so, like, you know, I've been in southern towns, passing through southern towns, and I've had conflicts, and I've, you know, raised my voice about it. And I've heard people say, why don't you just let us be? Everything was fine before you got here. Not that I was going there to cause a problem, but just because I was there, and I'm like, look, I don't, this isn't how I live. This isn't how, you know, I'm not subservient to you just because you're Caucasian, and I'm not, you know. And so many times I was here. Why don't you just let it be? Why don't you, everything is fine down here. Yeah, see, that's when you start getting into that mindset that everything is okay. So when I hear people saying things like, they should be happy, they can be millionaires in this country, they shouldn't stand up. The first thing that, saying they shouldn't stand up and say anything, but kneel is what they're really talking about. And what comes to mind is, look, Martin Luther King Jr. was a preacher. If he would have stayed in his lane, who knows where this country would be today? Malcolm X wasn't a world leader. Malcolm X was a crook. If you go back and read his history, if he would have stayed in his lane, where would we be? So when I hear people say that, in the back of my mind, I have to say, you know, I thought I knew you, but basically what you're telling me right now is I just need to, or things just need to stay the way they are because it's okay, because you're Caucasian. So it's okay for you. And so much time has gone on, it should be okay for us, and it's not.
And it's not, and it's going to, like I said, what I've learned in sometime, and like you say, in business, peace doesn't generate business. Hatred generates plenty of business. And we don't want to join peace, but the simple fact is that we join peace, there's no money to be made. But there's money to be made in controversy. There's a lot of people right there, and that's, and it equates back to even war. There's money makes that. A lot of people get rich during wartime.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if you look at, and like I say, you go back to a person like Muhammad Ali, as he stated, why should I go over there and fight the Vietnamese? They never did nothing to me. They never hurt me. And they, and as you can see, he got stripped of everything at that time. But when he died, you see what happened. I'm questioning, he would have loved it, that kind of going away party in the beginning when everybody was, you know, calling him, you know, the names that they called him because he wouldn't stand up. And he stood up for what he believed in. And that's where America should get back. Every man on this earth, whether it's from one extreme to the other, if you do your protest and you do it peacefully, hey, that's that. But when you start adding violence into it and you say, okay, it's okay to do it peacefully. These guys are doing this peacefully. And now they're being booed in stadiums. I've seen things on to where we have created this thing so bad that some people were sitting down in a stadium and someone came up to them and threw beer on them.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine what that equates up to. We start to create this thing called violence with this. And that's not where Colin Kaepernick was taking it.
That nothing not at all.
At all. He was not taking it to that point at all.
Are you in contact, Tony, like conversational contact with any of the players in today's NFL that are that take part in this protest?
Of course, yes. Of course, because it's bigger than football. And that's what these guys look at. This thing here that we are dealing with is big, way bigger than football. As you can see with Michael Bennett, he protests, and you wonder, okay, Ern, how did this come to fruition? He kneeled during the preseason, and all of a sudden he's out at an event, and he faces his biggest fear as a black man here in America. He faced that fear front and center to where he understood at that time, because he's rich and a millionaire, it doesn't take him away from what goes on here in America at all.
If you played in today's NFL, when the national anthem was played, would you kneel or would you stand for it?
I would have to really, two things to happen. If I had to come out, I would have to sit down. Because as I told you earlier, due to my faith, I can't. And when we talk about disrespect, I can't disrespect my creator at all. Mm-hmm. So I would, in this day and age, I would be sitting down. And if people realize, they can go to, we speak about how religious America is, but if they go and they do the research on it, they can find that the Bible speaks and clearly tells you, don't supposed to worship no man-made idol. And clearly, the flag is a man-made idol. You know, so I would have to, I would have to either not come out of the locker room or either take a seat on the bench.
Would it be something that you would invite the conversation? If someone were to ask you, would you invite the conversation of why you were doing it, or would you not invite the conversation?
No, I would invite the conversation, because that's the only way that I can educate those that lack the knowledge of understanding why I'm doing what I'm doing. I must educate them on that issue in order for them to understand. But if I don't invite them into a conversation, the ignorance still continues, because guess what? I'm ignorant because I didn't inform them. They're ignorant because they don't want to listen. So, of course, it is. I've always, and that's what I, when I look at this whole thing, to me, that's what I look at also. Everyone, we say every man in America has the right to his freedom of speech and his freedom to assemble the way that they want to. Their freedom of religion. This is what we say is what makes America beautiful, but does it? And do we really have that to be true?
You know, another thing that kind of made this a bit of a hypocritical situation for me is, you know, I hear, as I said, you know, people talking about how they're boycotting football and they're not watching football anymore. You know, one question that I would ask someone when we had this type of a debate is, how many sporting events do you watch? How many events do you watch where the national anthem is played? And I would get whatever number, whether it was small or big. And my next question was, well, every time you hear the national anthem, whether you're in your home or at the event, are you standing up? Once you hear that national anthem start, do you get out of your chair, get off of your couch, get out of your bed, whatever you're doing, do you stop what you're doing and stand at attention? Answer to me is no, then we can go ahead and end this conversation right now.
Okay, correct.
But if your answer is yes, then we can continue the conversation. And in the beginning, of course, people were saying they were sitting down. But then once people started getting, well, I guess I have to say yes, you know, okay, well, I can't prove whether you are or you aren't, and I don't know if you're saying you are because of conversation, but most people that are complaining about this while they're watching the football game, while they're sitting on their couch talking about throwing whatever curse words at the TV, they're doing just that. They're sitting on their couch. So if you really want to have this conversation, let's really have this conversation. But again, come to the table and say what you will not do anymore.
Yes, and even when you look at sporting bars, if you look in, you go and watch a game at a sport bar, how many of those people actually stand up when the national anthem is being played?
Yes.
Not many. And really it didn't come to attention to people until they took what Colin Kaepernick was doing and tried to twist it to something that they want. I always say America, when America starts saying that they want us to be, you know, patrons and all that, something's coming down the pike.
Mm-hmm.
Something's coming down the pike. I got to have America all the patrons. So if something happens and we got to go to war, I want America to have all the patriotism in the world. If you look back at a lot of wars, they pushed the patriotism button prior to a war taking place.
And you know, I didn't even think about it until just right now in this conversation. I wish I would have thought of it, and I would have actually gone on the internet and done the research. But
yes,
I remember there was a time when the national anthem wasn't even shown on television. They wouldn't, like, I can remember a time, even in football, I can remember growing up when there was a time where the commentators would be talking and then they break away from the youth, they go to commercial, and when they come back from commercial, only reason you know the national anthem was done was because you see all of the smoke from the fireworks or from the bombs that they let off or whatever it was that was causing the smoke. That's the only reason you knew. But now all of a sudden, and I have to say, I don't know if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. But I think more emphasis is being put on the national anthem and showing the national anthem now because of what Colin Kaepernick started and because of what's going on now. So, I mean, if you're going to show it, then you need to also explain this is why it's being done. So I don't necessarily not fault the NFL for some of the negative thought patterns that are going out also, because I don't hear or see the NFL coming to these guys' defense either, saying this has nothing to do with the military. This, and these are their players. You would think that the NFL front office would have sent something public out saying, we have spoken to our players. Our players are doing this peaceful protest because it is their right, and these are the reasons it's being done. So I don't even understand why that hasn't been done, other than it's going to mess with somebody's money if you do that.
And that's what they say. Okay, and when owners, and they spoke to the players one time when this thing became really after the Michael Bennett situation. They knew they had to speak. And then when Donald Trump came on and called them what he said, it really stirred up within the players' mind and said, wait a minute, hold. He's calling us SOBs? Mm-hmm. Oh, we got to stand up. So at that time, the owner said to themselves, we got to join with this. We got to join with all this to make sure that this takes, that we show our players that we are on their side. But when the owners found out that this wasn't going away, and that their sponsors were saying, hey, you guys better get this correct. You need to get this stuff corrected and get it corrected like now. Because now you're listening, okay, my sponsor is telling me I need to get this right.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could possibly lose, NFL could lose sponsors because they'll lose television ratings. I don't know what you guys are going to do, but figure this one out. So now that push came back to the owners, hey, either I think the Ross, the Dolphins owner, told them, okay, if they ain't going to stand, they stay in the locker room. And you heard what Jerry Jones' stands on it. Hey, they were all standing, but then Jerry had to come back also, because now, and when Jerry said what he said, Jerry didn't think that these players that plays for the Dallas Cowboys have friends on other teams. Mm-hmm. And when they have friends on other teams, these friends are saying to themselves, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah.
What is that over there? You guys on the plantation over there?
Yep.
And now that adds that peer pressure to the Dallas Cowboys player. So Jared came back and kind of pulled back on his statement. He's just saying, oh, I was saying that to get the attention from you guys because I wanted us to get back to football. But the players then interpreted, no way, no such, no how, that that's what you said. Their peers that they got to answer to, whether in their communities or that plays on other teams. And it's going to be ironic that Dallas Cowboys are off this week, and then they come back this following week coming up, and guess who they play? The San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, okay.
Who is what? The biggest protesting team and where this thing started in the NFL. So I guarantee you, even with that, the television ratings will be through the roof for that game. Business-wise, Jerry Jones is a great businessman. Did Jerry know, Jerry knew, if you notice, Jerry was the only owner that kneeled down because he had spoke a little bit prior to that game, so they knew that the attention would be on the Cowboys. And now here we go. You're playing the number one protesting team in the league, the San Francisco 49ers. You make a statement. Now, guess what? Where do the television ratings go? Through the roof again when the Dallas Cowboys play. So being smart on his, being that as a businessman on his part, that's great. That's great business. Because, like I said, as I told you, controversy brings billions, brings many dollars in. And in that aspect, everyone will be watching the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers just to see how this thing plays out.
Do you think Colin Kaepernick will ever be back in the National Football League?
Well, you know, just this week he's filed a grievance on the NFL for, you know, almost along the lines of stating that they have collectively got together and blackballed him. But he didn't go through the NFLPA. He hired his own attorney. He hired his own attorney, and that was just did that this week. Do I think he will ever play in the NFL again? I don't want to say that he won't, but it's going to be a long road. It's going to be a long road for him. But what has he brought attention? If he don't play in the NFL, has he brought enough attention to strike what's going on? Yeah, he has.
Yeah.
Do
you think the Miami Dolphins going and getting Jay Cutler was a direct statement to Colin Kaepernick by the NFL?
Not only the Miami Dolphins.
I'm
telling you. But it wasn't the only the Miami Dolphins that made a direct statement on that. It was several NFL quarterbacks that went down or they needed backups to where they went and got, I think they got one guy they got from the Arena Football League and brought him on as a backup. So not only the Miami Dolphins, did the Miami Dolphins make that statement. And I spoke out against that when that took place. Clearly, on my show, and I spoke about it, I went on, as soon as I saw them sign him, I went on my social media live, and I went crazy on it, just as I and several of my guy colleagues that I know in the business did also, because we were saying, okay, wait a minute, hold up. The only thing that you are trying to tell us, the difference between Jay Cutler and Colin Kaepernick is that Jay Cutler knows this offense, and that's why you want to take him. Okay, and that's what you push to the public to get away from why you wasn't going to sign Jay, why you was not going to sign Colin Kaepernick. The Baltimore Ravens had an opportunity. They was, as they say, pondering over the opportunity of signing Colin Kaepernick, but we saw where that went.
Yes.
And now everybody saying, oh, he needs to come out and say that he want to play football. Why should the man come out and say he want to play football when you know he wants to play football? You know this man wants to play football in the National Football League. He has never announced his retirement. So if he's not retired and announced that he wants to retire, then guess what? He wants to play in the National Football League.
Has there ever been a time, Tony, that you can think of on the top of your head, off the top of your head, rather, where a player of the caliber of Colin Kaepernick was starting for an NFL team one year, and the next year he is completely out of the league? Is there any other player that that's happened to other than injury?
Not that I can recall off the top of my head, no. And I think, like I said, even to why you said, you know, some would say this has never happened, because it has never happened to a guy like that. And it probably has happened. But if you blackball a guy, if you blackball a guy with no attention to him, you never know. It just so happened Colin Kaepernick took a stance right before what took place is taking place with him. And that's what's drawing a lot of the attention to where we're seeing there's possibly never. I'm quite sure there has been guys. Because, you know, if Marcus Allen spoke out about being blackballed, but Marcus Allen was able to get on a team.
Mm-hmm.
When he talked about his thing with Al Davis at the time and his situation with Al Davis, how he felt, but at that time, Al Davis just sat him on the bench. I don't have to not play you. He sat Marcus Allen on the bench. And then Marcus Allen further went on to the Kansas City Chiefs to end his career. But not to the point to where he didn't have a job.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
He didn't have a job. So that's, like you said, there's times that they're being blackballed, but not to this extent to where you know this guy has the caliber to play in the National Football League, but never get that opportunity because, not because of his athletic ability, because the stand that he takes on inequality. And that drives me crazy because we speak that football is just that. This is your freedom. This is, in any disaster, you always hear they use sports as a means to bring people together. We're going to galvanize people together through sports. When New Orleans went through what they did with Katrina, they used the New Orleans Saints to say, we're going to bring this city back together. And it is football that is going to do it.
Yeah.
You say it in that sense, and saying it is, like you say, a game that brings you and galvanizes people together. But what about Colin Kaepernick galvanizing in the same game? There's a disconnect when I look at those two things. And that's why I tell people all the time, and you know, we talk about football, and they say, football is a football, we're a family. Sometimes I've told several guys, I said, be careful the way you use that family word.
Yeah.
When we're talking about the National Football League. Because I'm only a family when I can produce for you. But when I can't produce for you, or I come up against something that of value that you don't value and I value, that's where the family disconnects.
Yeah, that's when we go back to being non-family.
Correct.
So
correct. Yes.
I absolutely, and we're running close to the end of time. I've said it in the beginning. I'm honored to have this conversation with you. Thank you for giving all of the insight that you did. I would like to ask you one more question.
Go ahead.
Tomorrow, Roger Goodell calls your cell phone. Tony, I need your help. I don't know what to do. I need you to come in and sit down with me and help me figure this whole protest out. What's your conversation with Roger Goodell?
My conversation would be, okay, Roger, you want me to come in to help you with this situation, but we must go back to the root of the situation. And the root of the situation that we're trying to come, there is a common denominator in. And we must bring Colin Kaepernick also into this conversation, because if I want to find the solution, I must go to where the issue starts at. And I got to not tell what I'm saying. I got to go back. We got to bring Colin Kaepernick into this fold. Because you got to hear his passion and his voice of why he's doing what he's doing in order to get to the problem. But I also want to tell Roger Goodell, you got to come. And we got to take you deep into the inner city, not only when the Super Bowl comes to town. We got to let you walk the inner cities of some of these states that you have football teams in. And not when we dress this thing up, but when there's no cameras. So
yes,
you
sir.
Can get the gist of what Colin Kaepernick is doing and why he's doing it. Ride and see how these communities are being affected by this. Find out the injustices and get deep to the problem. Get down at the ground level of this issue. Go into these inner cities. Don't bring the cameras with you, because that means, guess what? People really tend don't want to say what they want to say. Scared of what? Backlash. So don't bring the cameras. Get in here, dig down into these inner cities. and ask them, does this affect you? Does that affect you? And if you truly want to come to the root of this issue, you must do that first. If we can't do that, we're just sitting here spinning our wheels, and we'll get back to where we started from, and that's nowhere. Because I got to get down to the problem. Find out what affects inner city, color, people of color, whether it's Hispanic, whether it's black, whatever. Find out what affects them and what makes them move. And wonder why they're galvanizing so much, because it affects us. It affects us at a deep core, because like I told you earlier, there's not a black man walking that hasn't been affected by this, haven't been racial profiled by this. You can't find that many, because to be pulled out at gunpoint, and sometimes I sit and I ask my, you know, I sit and I ask a lot of my white colleagues that I deal with, and I ask them questions like, have you ever had, I don't know what that means. Have you ever been walking? You know, I did a study on it. When I was at the University of Kansas, I was in college, I did a study on it. Mm-hmm. And I went and sat at bus stops. I sat at bus stops. It was a class project. I sat at a bus stop, and as people came up, we wanted to see their reaction versus other people. You could hear doors clicking when you saw minorities sitting at bus stops and cars pull up. When my Caucasian counterparts were sitting, their doors weren't locking. We went to so far as to where we'll walk on the sidewalk. And we'll walk with two black guys on the sidewalk and with two white guys on the sidewalk. And there was different reactions. When black guys walk, you'll see sometimes they move to the other side of the sidewalk. When we see that in America, we have painted a picture that darkness simulates evil.
Yes, sir.
Lightness simulates beauty. And I even look at it to a point of, and my teacher brought it up to back then. He said, if you look at an angel's food cake, what color is it?
Sir, yes.
If you look at a devil's food cake, what color is it?
My grandmother did the same thing.
Yes, we create these stereotypes, and we don't expect them to affect people. But we got to be careful of how we use the language when we're saying light and dark. If you see a person in college, if you ever walk home and see a college student and it was an all-black, there got to be something wrong with them.
Yes.
You know, and that's a stereotype. And to be stereotyped against, that's a problem, especially when you know that this is what happened to you all the time. It hurt my feelings a little bit when we went through the 9/11 situation, and now this thing changed to a whole nother race of stereotyping because of a small minority group. But and they talk about, you know, we got to look at it, and I was listening to a study. They say we got to listen at, what about this, the black-on-black crime in America? That's how they highlight it. But when you put when you put a lack of education, a lack of money, things like that, it's almost you giving someone no hope. So that survival instinct, animal instinct kicks in. Until we can educate. Yes. Until we can educate them. And that's what these are some of the things that I will sit down and tell Roger Goodell. NFL has billions of dollars, a $1 billion industry. Let's not only when we go in these cities, we're going to come in and build a community and we never show back up again. Let's stay in the community if we truly want, because guess what? Your stars of your league come out of some of these inner cities, and the NFL makes billions of dollars off of them.
Yes, and my thing is, if you can pay and send scouts to go to these inner city high school football games, if you can pay scouts to go and look at and look for these diamonds in the rough, if you want to call them, when they go to the inner city to look for these, I shouldn't say scouts, but the recruiters for the colleges.
Yes.
When the colleges are going into these inner cities. Listen, if y'all can pay scouts to go into the inner city, then y'all can also bring money in to lift up that same inner city that you're going taking its young men from. You know, you can educate yourself. To me, it's got to be one of the, I really, honestly, unfortunately, I'm a big picture kind of guy. And I make things to take things to their most simple form. My thing is, how are you going to run a business and you don't know where your, I don't want to say products, but where the ingredients to help your business thrive, you don't know anything about where your ingredients come from. It's almost like if a chef has a restaurant, he doesn't know where the food is coming from that he's going to cook with. But he was told it was really good food.
Correct.
So to me, it's like that should be the first, that should be the number one thing. Especially this is college football. Academics should be at the number one forefront. So you go into an inner city, you send your recruiters into an inner city city, they can report back, look, we saw X and X and X and X football players, but they really need some help.
Yeah.
We can build some boys and girls clubs out there. We can put some computer labs up for kids to go to after school and learn. Let's do that. But instead, no, we'll just take what we want from here and, okay, now let's go to the next city. We'll take what we want from here. We'll make all this money
and
nothing to show for it in their community.
Yes, and Roswell, you know, I did a show on this thing a year ago before this Colin Kaepernick thing jumped off. I did a show on, and I called it Football, Modern Day Slavery. And I got when I broke it down to how and why it is, I put you on a pedestal when I need everything from you.
Yes.
To pad my pocket. But when you are done, I kick you back to the wayside, send you back to your community and tell you, we're done with you. Lights out, party's over. You're never to be seen again. There's no what I call like the military, and it takes me back to there, a defusing process. And we wonder why these guys' lives spin out of control. But now we're also finding out, and this is for another show, how now this thing is also being affected by CTE, and that's a whole other topic of conversation. But it takes me back to when I said, "You leave them by the wayside. They become like when you have cattle, a horse, and you use that horse for everything. And after he's done, that's it. So like greyhounds, when they race them and they can't race anymore, if no one takes them in adoption, we know what happens to them. So." This whole thing with Colin Kaepernick, I hope they get it. I hope they understand that this is not about the flag. It's not about disrespecting America, but it's bringing attention to America that there are some inequalities in America that must be looked into. And until we get to that point where we can sit down and have that open dialogue to where, one, we can dialogue to agree to disagree and find the root of the issue and face it and say, okay, yeah, this has happened. Because when you look at a lot of races in here in America and the things of a lot of things that have happened to different nationalities in America, and you break it down, we look at the Holocaust. We look at how the Indians, everyone was either told that they were sorry for the way that they was treated, and they respected the way that it never should happen again. If you was to put a swastika somewhere in America, oh, man, you have committed a crime.
Yes.
There's no difference of that swastika than a noose.
Absolutely.
There's no difference. It affects the same people. It affects different people in the same way.
Same way, absolutely.
It affects people. And so when we look at that and we say, okay, you, the Indians, when you took their land, you put them and gave them, now you've given them Seminole tribes to where they thrive and they make money.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the African American, the one thing that they always say that's in the past, oh, forget about it. You can't keep holding. We didn't do anything like that. Because if they got to look at that, they got to say, wow, this is what our forefathers did? Wow. And then reality sets in. We don't want to face reality because we must accept then that guess what? We have wronged someone.
Yes,
and until we come to that point in America, we're going to continue to come up against this issue all the time.
I could not have said that better myself. Honestly, I couldn't have. We are coming to the end of 2017, Mr. Sands. What's up for you for the rest of 2017, and do you have anything on the horizon to begin your 2018?
Oh, man, the Tony Sands Show, myself, we're traveling all around. We'll be at the Super Bowl this year. And our stories, we're covering, man, and not only that, but it was a pleasure to have you, to have me on to talk about this subject. So I'm enjoying what we're doing, man, as people bringing light to it, and that we're able to have open conversation. That's my biggest thing about this thing, is that we got to be able to have open conversation about it, because through dialogue comes problems, comes solutions.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I want you all, my listeners, look, I have a few thousand listeners. I don't have that much reach, but I do have enough reach. Now, this is my second show about this. And at some point, people, we have to wake up and we really have to sit down and start doing our research. It's one thing just to hear me come on and give my opinion. But when you hear the opinions that were given by Mr. Sands today, you have to sit and stop and think, was I bamboozled? And you have to do the research as to why this is going on. Once again, I thank you very kindly, Tony, for coming on today. I look forward to having many more conversations with you on and off the air. People, make sure you join me next week. We will definitely be getting into this Harvey Weinstein thing. I hope you all stay blessed. I hope you all start thinking about one another, start doing for one another, and start realizing your neighbor is your brother. Your neighbor is your sister. Look out for them. Have them look out for you. Again, thank you. We are out.
Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.